Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me. I'm glad that Pastor's being taken care of, but I know you'd rather have him tonight. But I'm glad to be here, and just it's a privilege to be in your church today. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Again, I wanted to thank you. I know I was just here last Wednesday and I talked about the prison ministry. We did complete already 2 revivals since last Wednesday. Last Saturday, I was in Gig Harbor, Washington, the only state prison for women now in Washington State. And we did a revival there. And it's about 700 women in that facility. And that doesn't mean they all come to the service. But so we did have one service there. And there was about 40-some ladies that came to the service. And 7 made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ during that service. It was a great service. We were able to pass out in that facility. Just in that facility, they only allow us to pass out a couple of things. And we were able to pass out a deodorant stick, a calendar, a bookmark, and a Christmas card that they could use to send out. And, you know, I was thinking, I was a little bit embarrassed about just being so minimal, but that's what the facility said we could only do. And so... But I was passing those things out. You know, we went to both dining halls. There's 2 different dining halls, medium security and then minimum security. And then we were passing those things out. And every lady was so grateful and so appreciative. And even a few of them said, "You don't realize how much this means to us." And so I was just like, I was just thrown back. Because I was embarrassed about what we were giving them. But they were just so appreciative. And a couple of them were very definitely wanted me to know that this means a whole lot for them, this gift. And and I guess it's hard for them to get toiletry items and stuff like that. And I even asked the staff, I said, "Why are they?" Yeah, they said they have to purchase everything. And then, of course, if somebody doesn't have any money, we'll work things out. But the stuff that the state supplies is like so generic, no scent, no nothing. And women want, anybody wants something that smells fresh and clean. And so, you know, so that's what we were. And I was just, those ladies, those 2 at least that came, all of them were very appreciative. I mean, all of them were said, "Thank you so much." But those 2 just really emphasize this means so much. It almost made me tear up because I was just, man, you know, that's being so much to them. But anyways, and in that facility, there, I saw 3 women with children. So they're allowed to keep their baby. One just was born, she said, 3 weeks ago. So there is a baby. I can't believe it, you know, seeing a baby in a stroller in prison. Yeah. And the other boy was 2, I think he was. And the other, I can't remember the other one, but it just kind of hits you like reality hits, you know, wow, this is really, you know. I don't know, that's my, I do full-time prison ministry and I'm used to being in prison, but the women's prison is not my comfort zone at all. But, they need a preacher, and I'm a preacher. And so we have 2 women missionaries with Rock of Eight. We have more than that, but 2 out here in the West who are in charge of the women's prisons, Sarah and then a Miss Brown. And so, of course, they don't preach. We don't believe in women preachers. So they have me come or whoever could come and do the preaching. And, of course, they do devotionals and the Christmas story and whatever, and do music and things of that sort. But again, that's what we were able to do Saturday. And then we had at McLaren was Tuesday. No, Monday. This Monday. So that's my big youth facility here in prison for youth there at McLaren. So we did services there. Had one of the best times I could ever remember. The preaching was good. The music was good. Of course, we feed them with pizza and pop and cookies. And then we hand out those care packages that you've been helping me out with. And those are like, wow. I mean, they just love them. And so we were able to preach. A lot of those kids are saved because I'm there every week and I do services every week. We had two come to Christ, two new kids that during those services there at that facility. And then we'll be doing Donald DeLong on Tuesday and Saturday. I'm doing Calhoun County Juvenile Detention Center. And so we do those. And then on the 21st, we're going to be doing Columbia River. That's the medium security men's. And we give them the full toiletry thing there. So a lot of busy season. And besides the regular weekly things that I do there in those facilities, but it's a busy season. I love it. I get a little bit stressed during this month, but it's part of my job. It's just we're so busy, and then we do those special revivals. And so it makes a huge relief to know that there's people praying, there's people supporting us and actually donating those items and stuff like that. That's just an encouragement. And so thank you. But I wanted to give you that update. But be praying. Still got a couple, three revivals ahead of me in these next couple of weeks. And so I appreciate your prayers and your just thinking about us. And Brother Mike will even be going to the Donald DeLong with me downstairs. And so he'll be going Tuesday. So be praying. And we're just going to give the gospel. We're going to preach and we're going to have fun. We're going to sing. We're going to have a good old time around the theme of Jesus. And just again, like I said, Wednesday, I keep repeating myself, but those revivals are important because they give us favor with the administrators, with the staff. And so, you know, we use that as anything we could do to build relationships with the institutions and the administrators. That gives us favor throughout the year. I've been doing this now 23, 24 years. And so God has been faithful to allow us to be in those institutions, and it's fruitful. And we have favor. Doesn't mean it can't change tomorrow, but so far, for 23 years, God has been good to us. And so 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And again, it's an honor for me to be here today, this evening. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Why does God allow fiery trials? You know, fire trials are much like, I know, you know, many of you have been to the doctor. You've had some problems. And you go to the doctor and they do their tests, their scans, their x-ray, their whatever, their blood test. And then you get the results, usually by email. And then, or sometimes the doctor will call you if it's a problem. And sometimes you'll return to the doctor's office and they'll say, "We found the problem." And they describe the problem. And then they say, "But we could do surgery." I know Pastor's been going through this for almost 3 years now, I think. But we all could relate to that probably. And we think, okay, surgery. But when you think of surgery, what do you think of? It's inconvenient. I just don't got time for surgery. I have to work. I have kids. I have this. I have that. It's just surgery. And then we kind of think about what type of surgery, and depending on what type is, we think about, man, recovery? That's a long time. I'm going to be out of this. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to. And, or we could add, it's unpleasant. Man, that's going to be painful. It's not good. There's a lot of thoughts. Or sometimes it's very serious, and you think, man, this is frightening that I have to do this. May not be a good outcome. But yet, we submit to it because the pain is worth the gain. Does that make sense? And so we submit to it. Yes, it's inconvenient, it's painful, you never have the time for it. It's not never convenient. And again, like, it's scary or it's unpleasant. And we've been there. But we submit because the pain is worth the gain. Because there is a very necessary purpose for that surgery. Okay? So, but with what Peter is referring to as fiery trials, we notice a few things here in verse 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. And then verse 13, he says, but rejoice. That's the challenging part. But rejoice, in so much ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. So in short, what Peter is instructing us is, with these fiery trials, whether it's surgery or whether it's some other thing going on in your life, we ought to expect them. That's what the Bible says. We ought to expect them. And then it says we ought to rejoice in them. We ought to rejoice. So again, I wanted to examine a few things in the Bible about fiery trials as Peter describes to us. They're going to happen. Don't be surprised. Just part of our life as a Christian. Expect them. And by the way, God tells us, again, I'm going to remind us, rejoice. Because there's a necessary purpose. The pain is worth the gain. God could use those trials to grow us, to mature us. And again, we need to just expect them. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Let me pray real quick. Lord Jesus, would you help us tonight? Would you help me to be a good communicator of your word? I'm thankful and grateful to be here. And I want to be a help. I want to be an encouragement. And I pray that I could do that, but I can't do it without your help. Again, we do pray for Pastor and Amy. I just pray, Lord, you be with them in a special way. Would you work in their hearts and their lives? Would you encourage them? Would you be a help to them? In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 22, verse 1 and 2. If I may say, this is kind of a challenging read. I've taught on this chapter before, but I'm going to go. We could learn so much from this chapter here in verse 22. It says this, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Boy, you know what's going on here. It's not good. Talking about trials. Let's look at verse 7 of Genesis 22. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So Isaac has a question here. And oftentimes, I don't know what you're thinking here, and I know you guys are very well versed in the Word of God here with your pastor, but Isaac he's grown, okay? And so he's looking at what's going on here. He's not ignorant of the situation. But again, what I'm looking at here, Abraham had a really close connection with God. I mean, there is a really close connection between God and Abraham. And I also believe Isaac. Because though they kind of were in a fix there, kind of saying, okay, we're going to this place, we're going to do burnt offering. And Abraham was even told that he was going to sacrifice his son. But yet they didn't question it. And in a sense where they just were listening, they had that connection with God because they were close. And then verse 8 says, And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So again, I'm just going to kind of stay here. God told him what was going to happen. And he said, I'll provide. And they said, okay, let's go. We do have a God that provides. I'm not quite here like Abraham. I have my weaknesses, and I kind of sometimes get in a fix, and I kind of, oh God, please, this can't be right. this shouldn't be happening. What's going on? And that's probably sin on my part. But we have to know God is God. And if he's going to ask us to do something, he's going to provide. Regardless of what I think. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. Could you imagine what's going through Abraham's mind here? What he's about to do? Talking about stress. Talking about trial. What a trial. I mean, the worst of a kind trial that somebody could go through. Those of you of us who have kids, we love our kids. Oh, just gives me chills thinking about this. What Abraham was going through and what his thought process was. But yet he had such a connection with God. God was going to provide. God was going to give grace. God was going to... There's a good end he had in his mind. He didn't know what the end was, but he knew what he's about to do. And I just can't even imagine the trial that he was going through during this time. Verse 10, and Abraham, well, let me read verse 9 again. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. I also thinking about Isaac here. He could fight. He could get away. He's not some little infant or even a toddler. But Isaac had a relationship with his father and with God. God was going to provide. We're going to go through this. Talking about a connection with God. And it reminds me, we need to have a connection with God. And probably my lack of connection with God is where I have stress and worry. Fear. And I get all those emotions. You know, we in Marta, we homeschool, and we're always with our kids. We're just always with them, and our kids are pretty much sheltered. Yeah. They don't know what the world's like or anything for them, in my mind. But anyways, we love them because we're always together as much as possible. We're there and together. We love doing things together. We love going places together. We have a lot of fun together. And I already have a plan that when they go away from college, we're going to go with them if they go to college. I don't know if they'll want that, but but that's our Martyr and Mars plan. We'll go with you guys, and they love me, and they love their mom, and you know they think that I'm the strongest man in the world. How do they know that? I tell them that all the time. And they believe me. I'm the smartest guy. And they believe me. One day they're going to figure that it's not true. But again, I'm just kind of imagining Abraham here and Isaac. And when the devil attacks, when, again, as children of God, God allows some things in our life to grow us, but there's an enemy too. And he's going to target those things that we're so attached to, that we so love. Huh. Talking about being put through a test. God will test us. And I think about our kids and those things that we love so much. And it hurts us so much when something happens to those that we love. But what are we going to do? We just got to have that connection with God. That trust. God will provide. God will take care of everything. I'm not quite there, but that's what the lesson is tonight. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And I'm so glad, I love this next verse, because Abraham had that connection with God. I have a feeling a lot of us, we're so busy. There's so many voices. There's so many things that we're, and we probably miss out on so many blessings because we don't have that connection with God. Does that make sense? There's so many things talking to us. I could get into social media and the TV and the radio and on and on and on and on. And on. Again, not talking about all that, but I understand that's our world that we live in. Do we have that connection with God, though? When God speaks, do we even hear him? I'm sure glad Abraham had that connection with God here in verse 10, because there's a lot to go on or to lose here if he didn't. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and he said, Abraham! And again, there's shows us the connection. Abraham said, here I am. Here am I. Here am I. I'm listening, God. I'm listening. Aren't you glad he listened? Aren't you glad he had that connection? This picture's here, Calvary, where Jesus, God the Father, ultimately was sacrificed. But listen, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand on the lad. No, no, no. Neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. He passed the test. I just want to see how committed you are. What are you willing to do for me? Are you trusting me? When I said I will provide, did you believe that? Faith must be proved. Only in trial does she put forth her strength and dare the impossible. Oh, it's easy to trust God when everything's going well, right? Oh, we could praise the Lord and God is good all the time. God is good and we're here and we're excited. But hey, let's put it to the test. God to call forth and to exercise our highest and best. Satan tempts to bring bad. Doesn't he? Yeah. You don't need to trust God. Look at what you're going through. Look what he's asking you to do. You ought to turn your back on him. Satan tempts to bring forth bad. God to call forth and to exercise our highest and best. God went every step of the way with his servant, who was called into a closer fellowship with himself than any other human in race. So he had that connection. He trusted God. He knew God would provide. That's what we ought to do. We ought to learn from him. So when you want to discourage yourself, when the devil wants to discourage us, he's going to allow some trials. God's going to allow some trials. But don't let Satan have the victory. Just trust God. Because God will always be there with us. Abraham endured a fire trial of the worst kind. But he endured. Notice in verse 12, again it says, and he said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do anything unto him. For I know, this is what he wanted to get to, I know that thou fearest God. He had a reverence for God. He had a relationship with God. God allowed it, to test Abraham's devotion. What is it in your life that you're going through today? What is that test that you're going through? So God allows fire trials to deepen our faith in God in His Word. There's a lot of promises in God's Word, isn't there? And I don't know about you, when I go through trials and when things are tough and you have those seasons, and we all have them, we ought to expect them, and then God tells us we ought to rejoice in them. But I find myself going to the Word of God. I want to find those promises of God, so that they could encourage me. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. Maybe you lack wisdom and you're thinking, what should I do? I have to make a decision. I'm not sure what I should do. And I need an answer from God. Go to the Scripture. God will provide an answer. James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Have you been there? Man, I don't know what to do. Then we go to the Scripture. And God gave us a promise here. Are we going to believe it? You see, we can memorize these verses for candy or whatever, but one day these verses are going to be real life. Does that make sense? So we need to claim them. We need to know them. And it comes alive for us when we get through. It's not just something that's in your head. It becomes real. That's what we need. And it becomes real. That's why the Word of God is so important. We need the Word of God. We need to submit to it. We need to submit to His Word and to what He says. The Bible says this, we're not just talking about academic learning, we're talking about the Word of God, not just head knowledge. It refers to practicing and just leaning on God's Word and His promises. When fire trials come, we quickly need to go to the Word of God and look to His promises. Maybe it's worry. People tell me I'm a worrier. And I try not to be, but I'm a perfectionist. I want things just right. I want things to be perfect. And so sometimes that causes me to worry. Psalms 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Lean on the Scripture. Trust God. Trust in Him. Worry about the future. What's going to happen? Man, this is going to happen. And we worry and we stress. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So we just got to lean on Him, trust Him, follow His directions, and everything will be okay. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think of you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Again, looking to God, God promises good things in our lives. Have faith in God. Psalms 37, verse 5, and says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth the righteousness as light and judgment as noonday. Again, going to the scripture, you're having a trial, trust God, lean on him, lean on his promises, be careful for nothing. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then what happens after that? And the peace of God. You need that peace? I need that peace. Which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. So expect the trials and rejoice in them. God allows fire trials to deepen your faith in the Word of God. Thirdly, God allows trials to sharpen our focus on Him. Again, we get so distracted, right? I get so distracted. You're here, you're there, you're busy, you have this going on, this happens, and something is thrown in the mix, and that you didn't expect that, and boy, and we just need to focus back on God. Aren't you glad Abraham was focused on God? Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Lean on God. Lean on his promises. Yes, there's trouble, but God is there with us. 2 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16 says this, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are seen are the things that are not seen are eternal. Again, we got to not focus on what the problem is. We need to focus on God. So he was troubled, but yet not distressed. He was perplexed, but not in despair. Why? Because he focused on God. He was persecuted, but not forsaken. He was cast down, but not destroyed. Paul viewed this as light affliction. So allow those trials in our life just to focus us on God. And sometimes, and of course, with the guys that I work with, God will allow trials in their life to purify their lives. And of course, us too. We need to get things and our priorities in order. We need to move things around, and that trial will help us to do that. Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6 says this, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, what? He chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if he be without chastenment, therefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subject unto the Father of the spirits and live? For they verily for a few chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So again, God will use trials in our life to purify our lives so that we might be partakers of his holiness. So again, there's profit in trials. I just mentioned a couple of them here, four of them. So again, when 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him and well-doing as unto the Creator. So simply today, the message was, there's going to be trials. Expect them. We're not home yet. We're not in heaven. But we ought to rejoice in those trials. To test our devotion with God. To deepen our faith in our Christian life. Help us to focus back on Him. And even to purify our lives. The devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So let's mature, let's grow, let's allow God to mature us and grow us. And again, the reminder is, why do we need to grow? Why do we need to mature? God, we're still here on earth. God hasn't taken us to heaven yet. And you have a testimony. And people look to us as believers. How do we handle trials? Though we're benefiting through the trial, if we do it biblically, there's people that we could affect and we could be a blessing to. Say, yeah, you know, I've been through that. I've gone through that. I've been there. And this is what God did for me. And even our life and our testimony, people are always watching. So again, we all have them. I could list a bunch of trials in my life that I have had and will have probably. And things that we go through today, and we just kind of say, man, and I kind of think, God, why is this happening? And I'm sorry, but that's just, we're human. And we ought to say, God, what are you trying to teach me? How are you trying to grow me? Maybe it's time I not just preach those promises from the Word of God, but now I have to experience them in real life and claim them. God is good. He's still good through the trial. He'll get us through. He's always faithful. So whatever it is today that you might be going through, maybe it's a call from the doctor and he says, you've been diagnosed with this. Maybe it's, you know, an elderly parent who has been diagnosed with dementia. Maybe it's that you go to the doctor and the doctor says your child has autism. Maybe it's, you know, you lost your job, or maybe it's a wayward child or a grandchild or whatever it is. And you're thinking, man, I can only take so much. We all go through those things. We ought to expect them. But are we rejoicing in them? Let God do what he wants to do with those things in our life. Don't let the devil have victory. And again, I'm reminded of Abraham and his connection with God. He had a relationship with God. And we need to build upon that relationship with our God and be able to hear him when he speaks to us so we don't make a wrong turn okay, at the wrong time and miss out on the blessing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, I'm thankful for your word, and I need this lesson just like anybody. And I pray that I could trust you. We have these trials in our life, and they're challenging, they're difficult, and they're hard. And I'm not saying that it's not hard. It is hard. But we have to just hang in there and hold on to you. And trust you and claim those promises and be a person that has a connection with you and a relationship with you that is sensitive to your voice and to our life and direction in our life. so that we don't make those wrong turns or we don't miss your instructions. Help us to be like Abraham during those trials. Help us to focus. Help us to claim your promises. And again, help us to pass the test in our faithfulness to you. Lord, we love you today. We love you for loving us. And I do pray that today, I know there's here some here that are going through trials. The reason why I know that is because we're human and we're Christian and we're people. And life happens. And I pray that they might be encouraged, whatever's going on in their life today, that they could just trust you and know that you're involved. You're at working. And we could take these trials and they could become something good. I pray for Pastor again, just be with him and Amy. And just help them during this trial sometime that they've been going through for not just this time, but for a long time. Be with this church. Be with each person here and each family represented. Protect our kids. Watch over them. Meet their needs. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.